Good morning to you. This is Brother Mike Sutherland coming to you again from Hilltop Baptist Church in Newport, Tennessee. This morning I will be preaching the final sermon in a series of seven sermons dealing with the doctrine of separation and holiness. I've had a good time preaching this series because I really felt like that this is an area that the Lord had led me to preach on, because there has never been a time in the life of the church here in America when we need to be preaching the doctrines of separation and holiness. Our churches are being destroyed by false doctrine. Our churches are being destroyed by unholy living. Our churches are being destroyed by unregenerate church members. Our churches are being destroyed by the baptismal pool being used for unsaved people. And there's a whole lot of other things that I preached in this series. Last week I got into a topic on dealing with doctrinal separation and the need for Bible-believing Christians to be separated from those that hold false doctrine. And I focused on Baptists, but I believe that that belief applies to Bible-believing Christians. And the things that I talked about is there are several denominational structures that we should be separated from. And I'm not talking, and I'm also talking about the denominational structures within the Baptist circles, to be separated from those. I believe that the New Testament teaching on the church is that churches are independent assemblies. We're not to be yoked up with a convention or any other sort of organization like that. Neither are we to be yoked up with other denominations such as the Episcopalians, the Mormons, the Presbyterians, the Methodists, the Roman Catholics, Anglicans, a whole group of them, Eastern Orthodox. We're not to be yoked up with those people in any sort of venture. We're to be separated. And the reason we're not to be yoked up with them is all those groups, and I documented that last week, went fairly in-depth into it, that they hold doctrines that are contrary to the Bible. And the Bible says that we're to separate from those folks. And that's one of the things that I'm going to get into here this morning and show you from the Bible why we're to separate from them. Now, I want to read you something that M.H. Reynolds said. And M.H. Reynolds was not a Baptist. He was a part of the Fundamental Evangelistic Association, a very fundamentalist Bible-believing group of Christians that held to the King James Bible and preached and taught the need for separation. He had to say, had this to say: some of the disturbing changes which are taking place in the lives and ministries of many Christian leaders and organizations are, listen at this list, a changed attitude in work and worship, one of irreverence, lightness, and frivolity, an increasing emphasis on clowns to amuse rather than crowns to be won, a changed attitude toward the importance of sound doctrine, where fellowship becomes paramount and correct doctrine takes a back seat. Number three, a changed position in the theological matters, one which may be described as flexible rather than fixed. With such a flexible position, further changes come thick and fast. Number four, a changed emphasis on ministry, one which endeavors to build bridges into the camp of the enemy rather than to build walls to protect the sheep from the wolves. Five, a changed scale of values which extols quantity rather than quality. I think you know what that has reference to. One, two, three, repeat this prayer after me and just come on in and join my church and then spend a hell in eternity. Just spend it in hell. That's where your eternity will be spent. And then he goes on to say, a changed scale of values which extols quantity rather than quality. Following this policy, some very impressive programs lacking a solid biblical foundation will inevitably be blown about with every wind of doctrine, leaving the door open for even further and more drastic changes in the future. Remember, I said last week that the byword for Baptist today is compromise. And believe me, the Baptists of the day are so compromised that had some of the earlier Baptist leaders in our country have seen what was going on today, they would turn over in their graves. That's how far we have deserted the God of the Bible and the doctrines of the Bible. And one of the reasons that we've done it is Satan has gone on the attack and said, well, you're just not loving. You just don't love people because you stand up and you rebuke false doctrine. No, the Bible says that if we love God, that we're going to rebuke false doctrine. The Bible says that if we love God, we're going to hate the things that He hates. And He hates what's going on in our churches today. It's not of God. God the Holy Ghost has not anointed it. God the Holy Ghost has forsaken most of the churches in America today. And that's why we're in the shape that we're in. Now, doctrinal separation by biblical definition must not be based on the persons of men. Matters of Christian liberty and human conflict. Let me read you some scriptures out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? You see what the problem was there, is that they were comparing one another with one another. And the Bible plainly teaches that when we start comparing ourselves with our brothers and sisters within our assembly as to what they're doing and what they're not doing, what I'm doing, what you're doing, that when we start doing those comparisons, that we are not wise. It's not all about those men. It's not about Paul, not about Apollos, not about Cephas. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's to be preeminent. He is the head of the church. He is to be uplifted and honored and glorified. And if you're in a church that uplifts and honors and worships the Holy Ghost of God, you've got a very serious problem. You are in a contradictory form of worship. You're bringing strange fire into the house of God, if you will, and God's not happy with it. Any place where the Lord Jesus Christ is, He's going to be uplifted and exalted by the Holy Ghost of God. It's Christ that is the preeminent one. He is the one that is to have the preeminence. He's the one that's to be worshipped, uplifted, and exalted. He's worthy of all of our praise. He's worthy of all honor, worthy of all glory. Hallelujah. Praise God for what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Not only did He save us from a burning hell, He has given us an eternal relationship with Him. And I can think of nothing that can ever compare to that. Now in Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 5, this deals with the idea of doctrinal separation not being based upon matters of Christian liberty. There are things that we do not do simply because they might offend a brother in Christ. Maybe they're not wrong, but they might offend somebody. Listen to this now. Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And that, if you go and you read all of Romans chapter 4, or 14, excuse me, I don't have time to deal with all of it here this morning, but if you read all of that scripture, you'll find out he's talking about matters of Christian liberty there. Things that may not be necessarily wrong, but if there's something that I do that would offend a brother in Christ, even if it's not wrong, then the right attitude for you to have is to put others before yourself and not do that thing which might offend that brother. But because even though it may not be wrong, he may perceive it as being wrong because he's not as mature in the faith as you are. He's not as well discipled in the Bible as you are. So we got to be very, very careful when we're around young Christians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 2 says, I beseech Eudaeus and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. That's what we're to be. We all have different personalities, and we should never base our dislike of a man's preaching or teaching upon a personality. We're going to be different. We got to have unity in the Lord Jesus Christ. Unity in the doctrines, Bible, by the way. We're not to have unity with somebody that holds doctrine contrary to scriptures, because Ephesians chapter 4 verses 11 through 15 deal with that subject. We're to have a unity that is based in doctrine that is truth. That's where we're to be at. But as the ecumenical movement pushes more and more toward the one world church, and folks, we're headed there fast. We must not, I repeat, we must not, as Bible-believing Christians, become ensnared in its clutches because they are wicked. And I mean the wickedness that they hold to is straight out of the pits of hell. And it's a very, very ugly thing. They hold every doctrine that's contrary to the Bible. And one of the worst groups out there is the National Council of Churches and the World Council of Churches that do anything that's opposed to Christianity. They are opposed to the nation of Israel. And let me say this about you out there this morning. If you do not, if you hate the Jew or you have a problem with the nation of Israel, you have a very serious problem. You have a problem with the God of the Bible, because the nation of Israel is still the chosen people of Israel. And let me remind you this, the Lord Jesus Christ who died for your sins was a Jew. And so if you have a problem with Jews, your heart is not right with God. And most Protestant churches today and the Roman Catholic Church do not like the Jews. They are constantly siding with the people called, so-called people called the Palestinians, that have never existed. Anytime you side with that group of people against the nation of Israel, you're in trouble. You're in very serious trouble. The Bible, I just use that word ecumenical there. And what that word ecumenical means is universal or one world. It's something that covers the world. And it's a child of the devil, if you will. The word ecumenical ought to ring a bell for us. It should, because the word Catholic also means universal. We are instructed in Romans chapter 16, verse 17, 2 John verses 8 through 11, Revelation 2:2, and Revelation 17 to separate based upon doctrine. We don't have a choice in the matter. It's a commandment. It doesn't matter whether or not I don't feel comfortable with it. It doesn't matter whether or not it will offend some supposed brother that holds to a false doctrine. It's not whether or not I offend somebody else. It's whether or not I offend the Lord Jesus Christ by some doctrine that I hold that is contrary to His Word. And by the way, that Word of God is a two-edged sword. It's the living Word, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is the written Word, is the other side of the sword, and the Bible equates both of those together. And also, the book of Revelation says that we are not to add to or take away from the Word of God. And let me make an application there for that. If you do that, then you're adding, trying to add something unto the Lord Jesus Christ, since He is the Word, or you're trying to take something away from the Lord Jesus Christ, since He is the Word. So we need to be very, very careful when we start dealing with the Word of God, that we not try to take away from the Word of God. And that's the guilt that is associated with the modern perversions of the Bible. Now, Romans chapter 16, verse 17 says this, why are we to separate? Here's one of the reasons. Now, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which call division and offenses contrary to the doctrine. Hear that word, doctrine, 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 which you have learned, and avoid them. Avoid them. Avoid them. Is that what the Bible says? Yes, it is. That's out of Romans chapter 16, verse 17. So if you're out there and you're holding some doctrine that's contrary to that which is contained in the Bible commandment to you is that you have to be separated from. And if you hold that doctrine, I have to separate from you. It's not a matter of whether or not I love you or whether I even like you. It's a matter that I've been commanded to do that. Doesn't matter how I feel about it. If I'm to have a relationship with God and be in full fellowship with God, I'm to separate from that type of thing. 2 John chapter 8, or 2 John verses 8 through 11. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Hear that now. Let me read that again. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Any idea what that's saying there? Hath not God. Is not saved. Is not saved. Hath not God. Let's go on. Verse 9. The latter part of verse 9 continues on and says, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If you don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, you do not have the Father, you do not have the Son. You see how important that this word doctrine is. I want to remind you that when I started out these two sermons on doctrine, I told you that the word doctrine occurs 51 times in our Bible and the word doctrine's 5 times. So there's a total of 56 times. Does God put a lot of emphasis on doctrine? Yes, he does. He does emphasize doctrine. And if we forsake the doctrine of the Bible to latch on to some pagan doctrine that's held to by some apostate denomination, then we are not in fellowship with God. Verse 10, here's where the rubber meets the road, if you will. Verse 10, go back up where it says, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. And then in verse 9 it says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Now follow verse 10 here. If there come any, unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. I'm not going to fellowship with somebody that holds doctrines that are contrary to the Bible for several reasons. Number one, it will offend the Lord Jesus Christ, who I love very much. It will be something contradictory to the Word of God. The Bible said when the Lord Jesus Christ gave the great commandment to go out and evangelize, he says in the latter part of that, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And the Lord Jesus Christ commanded that the doctrines of the Bible be taught. And then verse 11 says, once again says, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. I don't want to be a partaker in your false doctrine. I don't want to be a partaker in your apostasy. I don't want to be a partaker in your grieving the Holy Ghost, because then what that's going to do is that's going to grieve my relationship with God the Holy Ghost. And when that happens, I'm going to lose my power. And when that happens, I'm not going to be able to worship. And when that happens, my church is going to be hindered. And when that happens, my family is going to be hindered. I am not going to be a participant in your evil deeds. I'm going to separate from you. Not because I don't love you, but because it is a commandment of God. I love God more than I do the praise of men. I'm not going to fellowship with you just to make you feel good about me if you hold a doctrine that's contrary to the Bible. I am going to separate from you based upon the commandment that God has given me. Otherwise, I'll end up breaking fellowship with God himself, and I'm not going to do that. I have enough personal problems dealing with my own wicked flesh where I don't want to have to deal with somebody else that's into false doctrine. I have enough problems in that area. And I know what those problems are, and I know how I'm hindered. And I'm here to tell you that false doctrine will also hinder you. Now, Revelation chapter 2 says this, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Listen at that. Hast found them liars. We are to try doctrine to see how it lines up with the Bible, and then we are to separate from it if we find false doctrine out there. We're first to try to deal with it, and then if people will not repent of false doctrine, the Bible plainly teaches from the scriptures that we've read already that we are to separate from them. Now, I included Revelation chapter 17 in my list of scriptures a few minutes ago because it is about a religious Babylon that's at war with the Lamb of God, and by the way, with his children. The apostate Christian church out there, and I don't want to call it Christian, the apostate satanic church that's out there, the one that is the bride of the Antichrist, is persecuting Bible-believing Christians. They mock us, they tell us that we're unloving, and they come after us. And by the way, that's been the basis of Roman Catholic persecution for thousands of years now, or well, I should say well over 1,000 years, where they've murdered Bible-believing Christians and even done things such as taking and ripping the babies out of the wombs of pregnant mothers and destroying both the mother and the child. That's the sort of things that they've been guilty of. And burning people at the stake, pulling them apart. And I could go on and on and on about where absolute power is, it corrupts absolutely. And where religion is, and I'm not talking about Bible-believing Christianity, but where religion is, including Roman Catholicism and Islam, where they get into control, they're bedfellows, by the way. They are bedfellows. Where they get into control, there is a serious problem with persecution, even to the point of killing people. And it's going to happen again under the reign of the Antichrist. So if you're not saved out there today, you need to consider where you're going to be going. Now, many of those in the ecumenical movement, which I've been talking about, will use Romans 16:17 to accuse anyone who would stand of doctrinal separation of causing division. No, I'm not causing division. You're causing the division because you don't have enough backbone to stand up to the devil and his merchants, if you will, the devil and his financiers, the devil and his sin. You don't have enough guts to stand up to them. But you can stand up to me. You can abuse me because I don't have the power that they have. You can walk all over me and that doesn't bother you. The problem is with you. You're the one that causes the division because you will not stand up for that which is right, for that which is scripture, that which is godly, that which is Christ-like. You will not stand for it. Now, Paul compares the final state of those who are marked according to sound doctrine and those who are marked according to false doctrine in Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 20. Let's go there and read that. Verse 17, "Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an ensample." Listen at this verse here. "For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly." In other words, they're in the ministry for money. That's all they're for. And our pulpits in America are full of it. We've got mostly hirelings in the pulpits, and they like to call themselves reverends. Most of the reverends that are in pulpits of the church in America are unsaved and on the way to hell themselves. And they're pastoring a congregation that's in the same condition. Let's restart back up. "Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." Whose glory is in their shame. Have you noticed how people today, even in Christianity, glory in the wicked things of the world? They glory in the wicked music of the world. They want to bring it into their churches. There are Christians out there that think you ought to be able to drink. There's Christians, so-called Christians, they're not Christians, they're unsaved people that made a profession that think it's okay for them to run around in adultery. There's unsaved men and women out there that thinks it's okay for them to practice sodomy. There's unsaved men and women out there that think it's okay for them to steal and connive and cheat. And if you're in that area, you're unsaved. You've never been born again. And if you don't have a pastor that will stand in front of you and tell you that, then you have a serious issue. I know a lot of the things that I'm saying are very, very strong. And I don't make an apology for them. But I know that by many folks, it's not going to be well received. But I think it's the godly thing to do. I think that we need men that will stand up in pulpits, men of God that will stand and preach the gospel of the Word of God without compromise. That's why we're in such serious trouble in this country. It breaks my heart to see what has happened to this country because we have forsaken God. The only way that we can ever restore that relationship is to repent. And of course, I understand that the biggest issue is an issue of salvation. Our country is full of a bunch of unsaved heathens and pagans. And we as Christians, you as Bible-believing men of God, need to be stand up and be counted. These pagans, these idolaters that are out there today have been in our face now for over 30 years or 40 years now and laughing and mocking the Lord Jesus Christ that we believe in. And they've been doing that now for probably 40, 50 years now. And we need to get some backbone and get in their face like they've been in our face and let them know that their sin is going to send them to a devil's hell. They're going to burn and die in hell for an eternity if they do not repent of their sin. We have a responsibility before God that we would separate from unholy preachers and unholy pastors and unholy congregations. Now, the scripture that we just got through reading makes it very clear that we are to separate on the basis of doctrine, especially when considered in the light of Romans 16, verse 17. I've given you, and there's also a verse in Revelation chapter 18 that says that we are to come out from among them. That's what we're to do. And Romans 16, 17 says that we're to mark them is what we're supposed to do. And we're to withdraw from them. Now, both the false prophets and the brethren who walk according to sound doctrine are to be marked. In other words, what we're to do, we are to identify those brethren that will stand for the word of God. And then we're to identify those that will not stand for the word of God. And we're to put a line of separation between them. That's not what I say. That's what the word of God says. We are to separate. The Bible is all about separation. That's what it's all about. Let's read. Our brother, the Apostle Paul, feared false doctrine. He said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Did you hear what Paul said? He said that he feared that that group of Christians at the church of Corinth might bear with the false prophets and the false teachers and not stand up and rebuke that. And I've said this over and over again here in this series, if you'll not stand for the things of God, if you'll not get a backbone about you, you're going to be in serious trouble with God. Look at some of these scripture that I just read, that when they come and corrupt you, the simplicity in Christ, and a lot of that simplicity has to do with doctrine. They complicate the word of God so that it's not any longer understandable. They also preach another Jesus, a Jesus that doesn't save, a Jesus that doesn't require repentance, a Jesus that doesn't require baptism. They preach another spirit that uplifts and exalts anything but the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the spirit of this age. It is the spirit of the Antichrist. It's intended to bring honor and glory to Satan himself. And there's not a bit of God about it. And if you're in a church that constantly is exalting the Holy Ghost rather than the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have a serious issue, because that spirit is not a spirit of God. Okay, I want to thank you for your patience and listening to this series, and I thank you for being with us throughout it. And this will be the concluding sermon in this particular series on sanctification and holiness and separation. Thank you again for joining us. And please come back, and we would encourage you to pay us a visit here at Hilltop Baptist Church. Thank you.